You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Where on the Space Show, we're going to turn back time.
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, baby. If I could turn back time.
Several weeks ago, we turned back time 60 years to the Gemini 9 mission, and we told about how that mission was prepared and then ran into trouble. Well, the planned Gemini 9 mission to dock with a target vehicle had to be postponed. Here's how it was reported by the Voice of America.
America's Gemini 9 mission has been postponed until Friday because of computer trouble. We'll have the details of the story at Cape Kennedy later in this newscast. The flight of Gemini 9 was postponed again today, and a last-minute malfunction halted an almost perfect countdown. The new launch date is Friday. Less than 2 minutes before today's scheduled blast-off, something happened that blocked final data from reaching the spacecraft's computer. The disappointed astronauts, Thomas Stafford and Matane Cernan, again climbed down from their spacecraft atop the huge launch rocket. The three-day Gemini mission was postponed 2 weeks ago when its target rendezvous vehicle failed to reach orbit. Today, a substitute rendezvous target was launched successfully and is now in an almost perfect circular orbit 296 kilometers above the Earth. But even its success has been marred by a possible malfunction. A protective covering on the docking collar of the target vehicle may not have separated from the craft as it should have. This would mean that the Gemini astronauts can rendezvous with the target but cannot dock. The astronauts expect to find out on Friday.
Well, 2 days later, another launch attempt was made.
Thomas Stafford and Eugene Cernan today will make their third attempt to fly into orbit in the Gemini 9 capsule. Their first try was canceled when a target satellite failed to orbit. A target vehicle did go into orbit Wednesday, but computer trouble stopped the Gemini launching at the last moment. Today's launching from Cape Kennedy is scheduled for 13 hours 39 GMT. The Voice of America will begin radio coverage of the event at 13 hours GMT. Astronauts Stafford and Cernan will try to rendezvous with the target satellite in their first three orbits and dock or link up with it. There is one problem involved in this experiment, and here's Voice of America correspondent Ed Hickey with a report on it.
Mystery still surrounds the protective shroud that covers the docking collar of the target vehicle launched Wednesday, with which Gemini 9 will rendezvous once in space. A 400-pound shroud was supposed to blow off in orbit, but officials have never received a verifying signal. In the event the shroud hasn't separated, Gemini 9 will be unable to carry out the docking maneuvers. Ask how important this aspect was to the Gemini project. Space officials pointed out that docking was performed on the Gemini 8 mission last March and was also scheduled for Gemini 10, 11, and 12. Deputy Flight Director Christopher Kraft explains.
Although we would like to get some docking practice under various lighting conditions and, in fact, under various rates of this ATDA because that's of interest, I really don't think that's a very major objective of the flight if we don't. It's the methods of rendezvous that we're really after here more than the docking.
Deputy Flight Director Christopher Kraft. Ed Hickey, Voice of America, at the Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston, Texas.
Then came the live broadcast of the Gemini 9 launch.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting from Washington with live coverage of the flight of Gemini 9.
This is Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy, Florida. The weather is almost perfect for the launch of Gemini 9. The target vehicle is at this moment completing 2 days in space and is coming across the Pacific Ocean toward the United States. When it comes across Cape Kennedy, just 39 minutes from now, if all goes well, Gemini 9 will blast off pad 19 here and go after it. There's a slight wind coming in from the Atlantic to the east, and downrange, the emergency pickup forces are standing by in case of trouble. Around the world, the tracking network is completing last-minute equipment checks as they wait for the two astronauts to go into space. The small piece of equipment here on the ground, which prevented launch on Wednesday, has now been changed. And everything on the ground is ready to go. Let's go to launch control for the latest.
This is Gemini launch control. T-minus 34 minutes and counting. T-minus 34 are still going excellently at Launch Complex 19 in our Gemini 9 countdown as the ATDA target continues to swing around on its 29th revolution. At this point in that countdown, we're going through a series of flight control checks with the Gemini launch vehicle and overall telemetry checks between the launch vehicle and the Air Force Eastern Test Range tracking elements.
Then came the exciting moment. The Titan II rocket ignited to boost Gemini 9 into orbit.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have ignition. We have a liftoff. It looked like 39 minutes, 32 seconds after the hour.
And coming across the Cape, we can see the big Titan cluster moving. It's now about 1,100 meters in the air, moving up fast. And now you will hear the sound of this booster, the pale pink rocket plane from these hypergolic moons. Now about 3,000 meters into the air, beginning its pitch program, pitch control beginning. And it's moving fast up into the sky and pitching over to the east.
The Voice of America went live during the rendezvous as the two spacecraft passed over Australia.
The time of rendezvous between Gemini 9 and the ATDA target adapter is very near now. So for direct reports on this, we go to the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, and correspondents Robert Lodge and Edward Hickey. Well, here at the Manned Space Center, we're still awaiting a late report from Gemini Mission Control, the Voice of Al Chun. Any moment now, they should be making the final adjustment in order to bring them in very close to the target adapter. And we are still awaiting word on whether that shroud is still covering the adapter. To repeat for some of our listeners, since liftoff, radar tracking of the target vehicle from the ground has not revealed whether the shroud covering the target adapter of liftoff had been jettisoned away, as it should have been soon after liftoff. Now, hopefully, the astronauts, through visual setting, will be able to tell us whether that shroud is still covering the target adapter. This uncertainty has presented some problems in planning the detailed activity of the three-day flight. If the shroud is still covering target adapter at the end of the target vehicle, there will be no docking, and all rendezvous and re-rendezvous maneuvers will occur before Gene Cernan climbs out for his 2.5 hours of extravehicular activity. We're expecting a report now on the from Gemini Mission Control. And Hickey?
Yes, Bob. Had a brief time, but I think I'll hold that now. We have it about here. From Gemini Control, so let's listen. Gemini Control,
this is Gemini Control, 3 hours and about 60 minutes into this mission. We have Gemini 9 passing into the range of the Canaveral Tracking Station, and the PDA, or target, is 3.5 miles in range, and we will switch now to pick up the voice communication between Canaveral and Gemini 9.
Transmission from the
spacecraft.
coming up here?
Okay, KDA picking up.
That's the terminal.
Germany 9, walking to the tracking station. Earlier, the astronauts have reported
some... spacecraft C-band track.
They have reported some difficulty with their controls on board the spacecraft.
The Jumbo Jet will help the red turning lights of that blast to an
They see the lights of the target and not too far away.
That was that. That's a good indication of the
power of power away.
The Jumbo Jet will put the point of flight that I'll be breaking directly into the bottom. Should be active problem.
Roger.
Now about 4 kilometers away from the side of the vehicle. We heard the voice of command pilot Tom Stoppard.
Having crossed Australia, Gemini 9 and the augmented target docking adapter flew out over the Pacific Ocean past Hawaii, and the two were only meters apart. The view was described by the crew. The target's shroud had opened a little, giving the appearance of the jaws of an angry alligator, or as we would say here in Australia, an angry crocodile. After some discussion, it was decided that it would be too dangerous for the astronauts to free the shroud, and so a docking would not be possible.
Space officials and command pilot Thomas Stafford trying to discover a way to remove the target shroud so the two vehicles could connect in space. While awaiting their decision, the VOA coverage team outlined some details of the crawl experiment, techniques of rendezvous, which the astronauts were performing even as the VOA team was discussing their mission.
The Voice of America summarized the flight so far.
Objectives of this flight are to complete the 3 different types of rendezvous maneuvers scheduled for this flight. They would like to bat, of course, the tactics of the crew themselves. But the main objectives are the rendezvous maneuvers, and they'll do this 3 times throughout the flight, and they'll be ready today and then again tomorrow. In other words, they'll separate themselves from the target vehicle, get themselves some distance away, and come in again. In one particular case, it will simulate a return flight from the moon, in which there might be some difficulty in that they'll have to come in from above the target vehicle. Much as the lunar excursion module returning from the moon would seek out and rendezvous with the mothership that had been in orbit around the moon while two astronauts touch down and explore the lunar surface. This, of course, in parts another 2 to 3 years away. But a very important technique they hope to carry out on this Gemini 9 and the remaining Gemini flights.
VOA's Tom Hickey describing the various rendezvous maneuvers being performed by Gemini 9 and its charter ATDA in space. Next Friday, a decision came not to try to connect or dock the two vehicles. To tell about that and look ahead at Capital's activities, CRI's Ed Hickey filed this report from Houston.
For the first time in history, American astronauts have successfully completed delicate rendezvous maneuvers in space. Flying at a speed of more than 28,000 kilometers per hour at a latitude of 160 miles or 270 kilometers above the Earth, Gemini 9 astronauts Thomas Stafford and Eugene Pettit
dramatically close the gap between their spacecraft and the target vehicle, gazing to within 3 to 10 meters of it. The space meeting took place on the dark side of the world over the Pacific Ocean near Hawaii and culminated a series of pre-space maneuvers that began moments after Gemini 9 blasted into orbit exactly on schedule at 13 hours, 29 minutes, Greenwich Mean Time, Friday. As the Gemini 9 spacecraft circled around the target vehicle, astronauts and crew cleared up the mystery concerning the protective shroud that was supposed to separate from the docking tower after it was in orbit. They reported that the shroud was still attached, but partially open and hanging by four wires. "We have a weird-looking machine," astronaut Stafford radioed, describing the two halves of the shroud as looking like the open jaws of an alligator. His vivid description from space sent ground controllers to work, trying to find a way of shaking the shroud loose so Gemini 9 could dock with the vehicle. Stafford suggested that nudging the open jaws of the shroud was a bomb spacecraft, but the controllers ruled this out, referring to some signals from ground. By standing and withdrawing the docking collar, they succeeded in moving the shroud slightly, but it did not jar free. While controllers continued to work on the problem, Gemini 9 pulled away from the target vehicle, circled the Earth, and then completed a perfect re-rendezvous again. After the second rendezvous, Gemini 9 again moved away, and the astronauts went to sleep, thus ending a busy but successful day in space. On Saturday, Gemini 9 will rendezvous with the target vehicle for a third time, and astronauts failed to attempt a spectacular 2.5-hour walk in space. Ed Hickey, Voice of America, at the Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston, Texas.
With the multiple docking techniques demonstrated, Gemini 9 flew away from the target vehicle to move on to the spacewalking activities. Now, aware that many people cannot fully understand English, the Voice of America broadcasts simplified news reports read slowly, as in this example.
Space news. United States space officials are trying to decide if it will be possible for the spaceship, the Gemini 9, to join an object in space called a target satellite. The Gemini 9 was sent into space from Cape Kennedy, Florida, today, 2 days after the target satellite was sent to circle the Earth. The Gemini 9 spaceship carries two astronauts, Thomas Stafford and Eugene Cernan. They have completed the first attempts to join the spaceship with the target satellite. The joining is called docking. The astronauts have not been able yet to join the spaceship with the target satellite as planned. This is because a cover still is hanging from the satellite. This cover should have dropped from the satellite when it was sent into space Wednesday, but it failed to do so. United States space officials on the ground and the two astronauts in Gemini 9 are trying to find a way to settle the problem. The plan is for the Gemini 9 to make a number of attempts to come together with the target satellite. Another important part of the Gemini flight will be a walk in space by astronaut Cernan. He plans to leave a spaceship and float in space for about 2 hours tomorrow. The Voice of America will report on the walk in space as it happens. This is expected to be between 11 hours and 15 hours Greenwich Mean Time, Saturday. The Voice of America also will report on Gemini 9's return to Earth, now planned for Monday. In other space news, America's Surveyor space machine has sent back its second group of pictures from the moon. Scientists called them surprisingly clear and said they showed many details of the moon's surface. The American space machine made a soft landing on the moon early yesterday and sent back its first group of pictures soon after. The second group shows the surface of the moon, the edges of the moon, also the space machine itself. Scientists said the successful flight and landing means the Surveyor program will be completed 1 year earlier than planned. The Surveyor is an important part of the plan to send American astronauts to the moon by 1970. This is Mel Quid reporting from the Voice of America in Washington.
At the end of the Gemini 9 mission, the Voice of America provided this summary.
The Gemini 9 flight, which was launched from Cape Kennedy last week and ended in the Atlantic Ocean Monday, illustrates how close the margin is between achievement and failure. Out of many thousands of factors that must be considered, any one factor may be enough to frustrate full achievement of the objective. The Gemini 9 mission accomplished part of its objective. Astronauts Stafford and Cernan brought their craft into a rendezvous with another vehicle launched earlier. But they were unable to dock, that is, link the two craft together, because a protective shield had not disengaged from the target vehicle as it was supposed to have done. Astronaut Cernan, nevertheless, left the Gemini cabin and moved around outside of it for some time, performing various prearranged tasks, though this part of the exercise was shorter than planned. Both docking and spacewalking are techniques that must be perfected for interplanetary travel, including travel to the moon.